So the theme of the entire year is immeasurably more. And as we went to Florida, we thought about different ways in which it was an immeasurably more experience. And I trust that you have a mindset that you will develop today and in the weeks to come as we talk about or think about this theme of God doing immeasurably more through us and in us. And as you think about that, it's thinking differently and looking for Him to show up and to do things in our life that can only be attributed to Him, and it's His fingerprints. So as we think about immeasurably more, I want to begin a two-part series. And the title of the series is Maximize Your Life. Maximize Your Life. Our text this morning is taken from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 18. We're going to read that together. You can use your own Bible or pull out the Bible in the chair in front of you. And here's what the story's about. A master gives things to his servants. He entrusts things to them. And then the master leaves. And the master then comes back and he asks the servants, what have you done with what I've given to you, what I've entrusted to you? So if you have your Bibles, let's read this together. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 18. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went out at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also, the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. The man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and his master's money. In this story, people were entrusted with different things. And in the text, it refers to a talent as money. But talent in the broader self is what God has gifted us with. And everybody has something different. Your gifts are different than mine. Your gifts are different than the people sitting in the same row. We all have different things entrusted to us. And God has deposited things within each of us, and here's what He wants us to do. He wants us to maximize our lives. And so as we think about this whole theme of immeasurably more and maximizing what He's given to us, here's what happened to the 3 individuals in the story. The one who had 5 talents... went out and applied that and gained 5 more. The other person received 2 talents, went out and doubled it. He then had 4. The one person that had received 1 talent was afraid, and he went out and he buried it. You know, the biggest challenge in life when we get to the end of life is that we will not have buried what God has given to us. He wants us to use it, to maximize our life, to make a difference in other people's lives. And so today we're going to talk about maximizing our lives with what He's given to us. Next week we'll have part 2 and we'll further expand how to maximize ourselves. Special recognition to Tammy and Myron's grandson, right, Jackson? He's here today. Let's give him a hand. He's smiling. That's good. So I came across this story in Mark Batterson's book, Double Blessing, and he wrote about a guy by the name of Bob Goff. Bob Goff was an attorney for 25 years. He then transitioned out of that profession and began to be a speaker, a coach to help other people. He's traveled the world. He's done so many different things, and he logs a lot of time in the airport. And Mark Batterson writes about how Bob Goff had an experience with a TSA agent. Now, a TSA person is the one that when you go through security, they check, they want to see your license and boarding pass before you go through all the scanning machines. But here's what happened. Bob Goff, over time, noticed an individual who was a TSA agent. And over time, he had repeated exposure to him. But one day, Bob Goff said this to him. I've passed by you a dozen times, and I just wanted to thank you for the way that you treat each person in line. It's really amazing. The way you treat people reminds me a lot of the way Jesus loved. The TSA agent got up from his chair behind the booth, walked around, extended his arms, and gave Bob Goff a big hug. There were hundreds of people that witnessed this. And here's what the guy said. He says, I'm Adrian. That was the TSA agent's name. And here's what Bob Goff said. This was the beginning of my friendship with Adrian. 3 minutes at a time. Mark Batterson, as he read this story and wrote about it, talked about the 3 minutes at a time. He says, we have opportunity to be an influence on people's lives 3 minutes at a time. And so Bob Goff got to know Adrian, the TSA agents, and Mark Batterson says he calls it a three-minute party. Do you realize in 3 minutes you can throw a party that can change somebody's life? That's what you call maximizing what God has entrusted to you. It might not even take 3 minutes. Maybe it's two. Maybe it's one. But today I want to talk about the three-minute party. How does it work? What do we do? What do we don't do? And I have to be honest, as I reflected on this sermon, this is one of the simplest, most basic messages I've ever preached. When you get to the end, you'll see it's so basic and so simple, and yet it's powerful of what can happen in your life in 3 minutes repeatedly. So what I want to do today is just cover three simple thoughts about how to have a three-minute party. And by that I mean you and another person in your life. And in that time of interaction, what you and I can do to change or influence other people. Take your sermon listening guide. Let's get started. Number one, the first thing we are mindful of in a three-minute party is this: steward your smile. Steward your smile. Read with me Proverbs 17:22 in our notes. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Listen, a cheerful, smiling person is a whole lot more fun to be around than somebody else. And cheerfulness does the heart good, not only for myself, but for the other person. In Job 29, here's a verse. It says, when I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. The light of my face was precious to them. Do you realize the light of your face can make a difference in somebody else's life? That's what Adrian did as hundreds of people came through his TSA booth to go through security. The simple light of your face, smiling, you don't have to say a word, and it can just emanate and somehow affect and impact people in good ways. Winston Churchill said this, a pessimist finds difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist finds opportunity in every difficulty. You see, we have a choice to make, and smiling despite the struggles of life is a step towards the three-minute party. We need to steward it. Now, it was interesting when I did some reading on the smile factor. Do you realize that they say infants smile about 400 times a day? 400 times. And they said adults smile about 20 times a day. So between being an infant and growing up to be an adult, we lose 380 smiles. Now, I want you to do something. Let me give you some instructions. I want you to turn to the person in your row. I want you to give them your biggest smile, and then I want you to say this: I'm on my way to 400, okay? Go ahead, do it. You guys are great. I mean, some of you are like a pinball machine. You're racking them up. You only got 390 to go. Listen, smiling does this. It releases endorphins in the body. It's contagious. Actually, there's a study done where somebody did an experiment, and, you know, yawning, and, you know, that can be just a ripple effect. And Mark Batterson said one time he did a contest. I don't know if it was in a study hall or what, but he had about 17 people that responded to the smile or the yawning, whatever it is, but it's contagious. Smiling boosts heart health, strengthens immunity, and helps you live longer. Steward your smile in a three-minute party. Now, I've got some quotes. Here's the first one. Smile, it increases your face value. It's true, isn't it? More ways than one. It can increase your face value. Here's another one. Use your smile to change this world, but don't let the world change your smile. Now, I got to tell you, the next one is my favorite, all right? It's just cute. Here it is. When all else fails, smile. There's something powerful in a simple smile. It's part of the three-minute party. And when you enter into someone else's space, their sphere of influence, don't underestimate the power of a smile. And here's the last one. Smile at the obstacle, for it's a bridge. I don't know what your obstacle is this morning in life. And there can be different kinds of obstacles, and some are more heavy duty than others. But if you think of it as a bridge, there's something on the other side. And we can smile and say, God, help me through this. So number one, you want to throw a three-minute party? Steward your smile. Number two, the second thing we can do is to choose your words carefully. Choose your words carefully. Read with me Proverbs 18 in your notes. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue is a powerful thing. And we have to be mindful in our three-minute party to choose our words carefully. Read with me Proverbs 25. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Listen, there's incredible power in our words. I came across a verse in Proverbs. Here's what it says. It's not in your notes. 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I got to tell you about an experience coming back from Florida. We flew into New York, left out of Orlando. We were in row 21. In row 20, there was a young couple that had two children, both very young. Found out later the youngest one was 3 months. And this three-month-year-old had an amazing set of lungs. I kind of felt bad for the parents because it's like, how do you get a three-month-old to kind of rein it in, you know? But anyway, the flight was done. The flight was ended, and we had small talk before we got off the plane. We're standing there and so forth. So I started talking to this mother. She was a young mother, maybe in her 20s. There was other family that was with them, and I thought the row in front of her, there was an older lady. I thought it was like her mother, his mother, maybe a grandma, right? And so we're just kind of having small talk, and I made this statement. I said, it's kind of times like these where you just want to hand the baby to grandma, you know? And I thought about it later, and I thought, Larry, that was not good choice of words. I mean, we were just kind of having fun rolling with it, but I thought about it, that just was not an appropriate thing to try and build somebody up. I felt like I really blew it. I felt I did. But the point is this, choose your words carefully, even in moments of humor and jest. Be careful. You know why? The three-minute party can either lift somebody up or tear them down. It really can. Here's a quote. Your words have power. Use them wisely. Maybe it's a simple thank you, or I appreciate what you've done. Maybe it's just somehow saying great job. Maybe it's thanking somebody for the meal that was prepared in your home. That we don't take it for granted. And the way we start a three-minute party is to start with the people in our homes. Husband, wife, children, parents, whoever it is, the people we work with, that's where we start to throw the three-minute parties. When you get into the wider circle of life, meeting people in the grocery store and people you don't know, you can still throw a party. Adrian did. And you can bless people. But be careful with the words that you speak. Here's another quote. Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. Don't underestimate the power of a simple thank you or great job or words of appreciation. They can echo through a person's life going forward. And so we have to just be mindful in filtering what we say in our three-minute party, because it's a big deal. We want to build people up. We want to be affirming. We want to maximize our lives in our time, in our talents that God has given to us. So number one, steward your smile. It's free. Shoot for 400 a day. Number two, choose your words carefully. You never know what the simplest encouragement can mean to someone else. And finally, number three, the third thing we do in this party is this. Give your undivided attention. Give your undivided attention. In the book of Luke, there's a story about a woman who had an issue of bleeding for 12 years. She went to multiple doctors and nobody could help her. It was a time of desperation in her life. And she said, if I can just but touch the hem of Jesus' garment, the tip of his cloak, his clothing, if I can just touch it, I believe I'll be healed. And sure enough, in a crowd of people, she pressed in and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Jesus knew something had happened because he said, I felt virtue and power leave me. And he said, who was it? And the disciples said, hey, it's a crowd of people around you. We don't know who did that. But let's read the story and see what happened. Let's read it. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Jesus gave this woman his undivided attention. The Bible is full of stories where Jesus one-on-one gave his undivided attention to make a difference in the other person's life. What's that mean? It's listening. It's just being there with a caring spirit. And so there are different examples. The woman at the well, broken relationships from multiple marriages. She was broken. Jesus gave her his undivided attention and talked about the water of life to make her satisfied. How about the blind men? The guys that struggled with lack of sight, and Jesus touched them and he says, your faith has made you whole. He gave them his undivided full attention. How about Zacchaeus in the tree? He's a short guy and Jesus walks by and Jesus sees him and says, hey, I'm coming to your house today. Jesus gave him his undivided attention. And he'll do the same for us. Here's a quote. God will go to incredible lengths to get your undivided attention. Isn't that true? I mean, if we're journeying through life and we're not paying attention, but God wants to bless us, he will go to amazing lengths to get our attention, will he not? Now, here's the flip side. John could put the next screen up. You always have God's undivided attention. Whenever you take time in a busy day or in a busy season of life, you look to him, he will always give you his undivided attention. And when the two match, when you give your attention to God and God has his undivided attention to us, that's where good things happen. The three-minute party really gets expanded. I have a story to tell that I believe I may have shared this in the past, but Charlie Gregory was the town supervisor for many years, and he passed away rather unexpectedly. I believe it was a heart condition. And I remember going to the Baptist church to the calling hours. Sandy, his wife, was there. And she told me a story about Charlie. She said, when Charlie would go into a room, he would look around at all the people. And he would look for the loneliest person in the crowd. The loneliest. The person that probably was sitting by themselves. Nobody else wanted to talk to him. Maybe they weren't dressed real good. Whatever it is. He would look for the loneliest person. And then he would go to him. And he would start talking to him, and he would give his undivided attention to them. That's what I remember about Charlie Gregory. Whenever you talked with him when you're done, he was the kind of guy that would just make you feel good, like a million bucks. He had this sense of caring, compassion about him. But the point is this, you and I in our three-minute party, or two-minute, or one-minute party, can give people our undivided attention, where we don't talk. We don't have to be jabbering and talking about my story. Rather, I am there to listen, as Jesus was for many people in the scriptures. Undivided attention is a powerful magnet that's lacking in our society. But the more we do it, the more we commit to it, let me tell you, God will use any person who is willing to love on somebody else in their time of need. Here's the last quote on this particular point. Attention is the rarest and the purest form of generosity. Attention. Steward your smile. Shoot for 400 a day. There's energy, there's power in it. Number two, choose your words carefully. You only have a short period of time with that person. Number three, give your undivided attention. Be present when you're present. I mean, be there. Actually, you're listening, you're engaged, and you're caring for the other person. Well, let me conclude here. In the book of Mark is recorded the Sermon on the Mount. And this phrase is in there. There's a couple. It says, you have heard that it was said, but I tell you. That's the words of Jesus. Here's what he would do. He would pull something, for example, out of the Old Testament. You have heard that it was said an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, turn the other cheek. So what he did is he flipped some things on their head. And he brought it in a new way. In computers and iPhones, they come from the factory with default settings. A default is something that just, it's how the system runs. It's operating principles. It's a default. And every once in a while, you got to get an update on your computer or your phone for the operating system. Now, maybe there's a bug in it. Maybe there's something. Maybe there's a better way. And so sometimes our defaults, the way we do life when we don't know how to respond otherwise, is a default. Some people are introverts. Some are extroverts. Some people, we're a product of how we're raised. And some of those products are really good. And others are a bad default. And so the big question is, what is your default setting when it comes to throwing a 3-minute party with the person across from you? What's your default setting on stewarding your smile? Maybe you haven't thought much about it. I really hadn't. Maybe I need to ramp that up and change my default from whatever it is to something better. What's your default setting on the words that come out of your mouth? Are you good at filtering them? Are you good at saying, wait, let me think before I speak? Am I good at intentionally building other people up, using words that will help them, encourage them, that will echo into the future as a mode of encouragement? Here's another one. What's my default in giving people my undivided attention? Do I love to just tell my story when I get a platform with somebody? They'll listen to me. Do I just talk and talk? Or am I going to be willing to listen and let them just kind of, I can love on them and be, have a caring spirit? As you think about your party, you can practice it today. We're going to go next door in a few moments and hopefully enjoy some refreshments. Or if you leave, you're going to go home. I want you to ask yourself, what is your default setting in each of these areas? And maybe there's an area where you need to change it or ramp it up or do better so that your life, listen, can be maximized on a daily basis. When I thought about this sermon, I told you it was simple. You don't have to go out and read another book. You don't have to go and listen to another message. You don't have to do anything. This message, if you do it, listen, you will maximize God using you to be a blessing to other people just by being who you are, stewarding your smile, choosing your words carefully, and giving your undivided attention. The last screen, maximize your life. Throw 3-minute parties. Let's pray together. So heads bowed and eyes closed, and those listening online, just take a few moments. I'm going to walk through these three areas. What's your default setting when it comes to smiling? Are you a good steward of something that's free, that can create energy and blessing to other people? Adrian, as a TSA agent, knew the value of a smile. Number two, do you consciously choose your words carefully? With intentionality, speak, listen before you speak. Maybe there's something you want to change and say, God, give me an update in this area to be intentional to build people up. And number three, how good are you at giving your undivided attention to the people in your home you live with, the people in your family, people you work with? of just being there. Be present when you are present. Father, we thank you this morning for the simple truths of life that can make a difference. And I pray for every person here, whether it's a 1 minute, 2 minute, or 3 minute party, today they can throw it. And they can be a blessing, and you will take each of our lives. And we will lead our lives in such a way, we will lead by being a blessing to other people, by our smile, our words, and the giving our attention. Give us an amazing week, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, all because we've offered ourselves to you, entrusted all that we are to, and we ask you to bless other people through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.